The Optimist. Conversations with leaders and industries shaping Europe's future. Exploring the ideas and innovations driving progress across the continent.
Welcome to The Optimist. Today we are kicking off season 2 of our Real Talk podcast with leaders who are shaping Europe's technological future. My name is Moritz Schönleber, I'm the tech community lead at Handelsblatt, and joining me today is the expert who will be conducting the interviews with Europe's leading tech visionaries in the upcoming episodes. Dr. Dale Rickert, he is Managing Director of Tech by Handelsblatt. Dale, it's great to have you. Welcome to The Optimist.
Thanks very much, Moritz. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dale, your goal is to create what you call a cluster of optimism. This podcast, The Optimist, is part of that vision. Let's start deep and then we get a little lighter. We promised that you haven't seen these questions before, so buckle up, Dale. It's going to be interesting. Dale, in the previous interview, you said, right now, the EU regulates technology to support democracy. In contrast, the US deregulates democracy to support technology. So my first question to you is, who do we need to make European technology both competitive and sovereign? In other words, Dale, who do we bring together within the tech initiative in year 2?
Yeah, thanks, Moritz. Look, this is the thing with tech and the situation we find ourselves right now in Europe. There isn't an easy answer to that question. If you look at the way this has played out, the statement you said is absolutely true. And it's in no way an indictment of the EU or the US. They're just different paradigms. And I think there's two sides to this coin. If we look at the ambition of tech as a platform, what we're trying to do is really speed up innovation, but make sure that the innovation we have and the way we work with technology supports our society, supports our democracies, and supports our business interests as Europe. And I think the last few years have really showed us how important that sovereignty is to our future. So we need to look at who we are as Europeans, what values we have, and what those values mean for the way we can do business and the way we want to do business into the future. So I'd say two aspects. Regulation is a huge part of it, but we've got to get the right mix. We need to speed up in terms of how fast we can innovate. And innovation requires an environment where people can move fast. So we need engagement and dialogue between policymakers and business so that we can get the right balance. And on the other side, we need to make sure that what technology we work with and the technologies that we build support the future we want to have together in society, in community, in business. And that means we need to have those difficult discussions. So I think these two aspects really form a foundation for what tech is and why we want to build the movement.
So before we dive deeper into the details of the tech mission, Dale, I'd like to give our audience a chance to get to know you on a more personal level. So tech is your mission now. We just heard that you're very keen and very open to discuss these topics in a broad vision. But you've been on many different missions before. You're now a highly experienced business leader, but you were born in Australia under, you could say, very different circumstances, right? How was that? Tell us, where you're from?
Yeah, so look, I did grow up with a different background to many people or what people would be used to in Europe. So I grew up on a farm in rural, very rural Queensland. So we're talking about, 12 families within 50 kilometres. So it was very quiet, very peaceful existence. And actually, my background, our family, we had a music band and my big passion was music. So every weekend we'd travel out to community halls and we'd perform Australian folk music, which is called Bush music. You probably have never heard of it, but it's a distant cousin of Irish, English and Scottish folk music. And that was my first real passion. So I practiced a lot. And from the age of 12, my mum and dad put the amazing commitment into driving me every few weeks down to Brisbane, which was a 500-kilometre drive to the nearest professional cellist to have lessons with the principal cellist of the symphony orchestra. And that was my first career. So I studied music at the conservatorium. I was lucky enough in my early 20s to get a full-time position in an orchestra. And, I did that for 5 years. And through various twists and turns, I ended up having a shoulder injury, had to retrain, started studying statistics, did a PhD, and then met a beautiful girl at a conference in Vienna and moved to Europe. And that began my career in events and business, and I haven't looked back since. So that's kind of the short version of how I ended up in Europe and working in the field of technology and events management.
Yeah, wow. So then after serving as global head of product at the renowned Green Tech Festival, you joined us here at Handelsblatt. What have you learned since you were coming on board? What would you say?
Within Handelsblatt, do you mean?
Yeah.
Within Handelsblatt. It's interesting. There's so many aspects. It's not a simple question to answer. I think the key thing for me is that right now we're at a pivotal moment in Europe. We're really at a crossroads. And I think that the next 5 years will have a huge impact, not only on where Europe ends up in business, in technology, but also where we end up globally in terms of global community collaboration. And I feel like, I've always loved to work in jobs where there's a purpose, some kind of impact. And I feel like this is exactly the right place right now to be, because there is no more important question that we need to answer in terms of how can we decide what we want to do with technology? Where are we going to go as Europe? How does Europe fit into the rest of the world? How do we work together? When do we need to work separately? Because we have different goals and different aims. So all of these big questions, I think it's fascinating to be working within that kind of environment. And then on a personal level as well, working within a journalistic organization. So I really feel like I'm at the bleeding edge of understanding of geopolitics, of research, of technology, and I have experts all around me. So it's in many ways almost hard to not get distracted, because, through the hallways, whether I'm working in the political bureau here in Berlin or when I visit Dusseldorf, there's just so many interesting and fascinating things happening that really are going to go on to define the future of where we go as Europeans, and then also as a global, I guess, as a species, in terms of AI is coming. That's changing the way we think and act, the way we do business, the way we interact. These things are all massive drivers. We've got quantum coming. Quantum is going to change the way computing is done and what's possible. We've got gene engineering, all these topics, they're all, it's kind of almost a confluence. These massive breakthroughs are happening. If one of those breakthroughs was happening alone, it would be a huge thing. They seem to be all happening at once. So technology is really the bleeding face of innovation. I think that's where the most exciting part of what I do and what I experience working in Handelsblatt.
And this is also your motivation, why you're always saying this is why we need this tech initiative now, right? Mm-hmm. So I would like to talk to you a little bit about, you said there are so many breakthroughs. Some people might have the feeling that there are some bottlenecks as well. What would you identify as some bottlenecks, especially in the European landscape? And how is this tech initiative actively working to address also those?
Hmm. Yeah, and I think that's something we have to look at very honestly, is that there are real challenges in the European Union, in Germany as well, around innovation. And, I think last year we slipped from being in the top 10 global patent holders in terms of new patents lodged in the US Patent Office. So there's signs that things are slowing down, that we're not being as quick as we could be. And there are some real obvious barriers that we need to work not against but with. And I think one of them is we need to make sure we have tech transfer happening, that when we have innovations at universities, take Europe generally, whether it's Switzerland, whether it's Germany, whether it's France, whether it's Holland, all across Europe, we have leading research institutions who are doing often fundamental deep tech research that leads to huge breakthroughs that become new business models. But we're not transferring that into innovations that turn into companies, that turn into patents, that turn into copyright and product for Europe. So we need to work on that junction between research and technology and the transfer to real economic breakthroughs and a business model development. That's one aspect. And we have various collaborations we're now working on with TUM, for example, and other universities to try to create this interface between big companies, business, industry, and institutions of research and academia. So that's one aspect. And the other aspect, I guess I mentioned it before as well, is that we need to have active dialogue with policymakers between innovators, people in new technology, between industry and business, and those who write the laws and regulations. Because we need to make sure that really that regulation supports us without holding us back. And so that really exist at the European level. We need to be, of course, dealing with the biggest policymakers across the EU, but then also locally with individual countries. We have many ministers coming to tech. And I guess one of the real charming parts of tech, because it's in Heilbronn, because it's built on its own area, built up on the ground, when people come, they spend time. So people stay for hours and they can engage with each other. And you have that Davos effect, so to speak, where people come, they have decided, they've dedicated time to be there, and it allows them to go deeper than just the 30-minute presentation and then fly out again afterwards. So I think this melting point, breakthroughs in research and technology, academia, policymakers, and industry and business, this is the real crux of where we can actually start to move some of those barriers to the side and make us move faster.
Right. So we talked about the why and the what of this tech initiative, right? So my last question on that one would be, how do we do this? So maybe also looking ahead, your vision for this year and the next one, tech is more than an event. It's a movement, you're always saying. Mm. So how are the evolving formats supporting this? How do we deepen the impact of this cluster of optimism? How do people meet in this tech initiative? What's our how, if I can ask you like this?
Yeah, that's a really important aspect of the path forward. And I think part of it, we're doing it right now. You know, we want to create content, which is valuable. We want to start conversations. So we want the community, if you're in the community, we want you to engage, comment, send us questions. We want to make this a real marketplace, a place for dialogue, discussion, and exchange. So we've got a bunch of formats which are coming up, which will be launching over the coming weeks. You know, we've got Larissa Holsky, our tech and AI journalist. She'll be doing a video content. She'll be doing a tech webinar. We really want to create a discussion point. And I think people can come on board, become members, engage with us, and join the community, because long term, you know, we have one event right now, the major event in Heilbronn, taking place at the end of May and beginning of June next year. We also have little mini events running up, the Road to Tech events, which are, you know, taking place at different events, whether it's, you know, Quantum Effects in Stuttgart, whether it's Industry Gipfel or KI Summit. These are all part of the build up to the overall tech event. And in the long term, we want to build chapters in different regions. That means we want to have a French chapter. We're going to have a chapter in Holland. We're going to have a chapter in the Baltic regions. We're going to make this really live touch points where people can actually begin to get valuable insights and actually create a network which strengthens our position as Europeans in technology going forward.
And one important aspect of this movement also is this podcast we are in right now, The Optimist, where you've been interviewing and you will interview some of the European tech leaders. It's more than a podcast title, right? It's also part of this movement, and it's a statement, The Optimist, that I would like to ask you, especially in a world where media often amplifies fear and crisis, some say, what does optimism mean to you? Why do we name this podcast like this? And how do you make it sure that it doesn't drift into naivety and hope all the time? So what's your take on this The Optimist podcast?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned earlier about going deep quickly, but I think there is probably a deeper answer to this. And for me, you know, we're living in dark times right now. You know, you've got the war drums are louder than ever on our borders around Poland and you know, across the Baltics. Our relationship with our old friends across the Atlantic is looking more tenuous than ever. And it feels like we're becoming more isolated. And why I have optimism is that if one thing has been true throughout history, history has taught us that humanity is at its strongest and at its absolute best when we're under pressure. And it's at these points that we decide what matters to us and we come together, we exchange, we decide what we want, we collaborate. And in that state, humanity can do almost anything. And I think right now, that's the call to action for Europe. We need to do this. We need to come together and create a movement that defines what we want. And there's nothing more optimistic than that, to have that opportunity right now. It's on the table. We have to take it. So that's really, I guess, a mandate. The optimism comes from necessity. But I think there's never a better time for optimism than when you know that now counts.
So last question on this podcast. If listeners remember just one thing after each episode, maybe a feeling, an idea, a call to action, what do you hope it is? What's the real purpose of the optimist, you know, beyond inspiration? Why do we do this?
Yeah, I'd hope that the listeners after the sessions, that they sit up in their chair and just feel a bit different or take different actions, that it affects the way they think and act. I think that's the fundamental, is that we don't just say, oh, well, you know, the last 30 years have been fine. We don't need to change anything around here. As I said in my previous statement, the mandate is obvious. We have to make change now, but it's also an incredible opportunity to position Europe as leaders in business and technology and to make sure that European values, which for me, these values have really been distilled over generations around principles like belief in institutions or belief in the rule of law, the need for transparent business and trust in business, an understanding for the value of culture and sovereignty. These are all things that we can believe in and stand behind and fight for. So I hope when people come away from Optimist, whether it's a technique or a process that they learn, or they have a different view about an aspect or issue currently shaping what we're doing in Europe, that they act differently. That would be my hope. It's a big goal for a podcast, but I think it should be like that. We should aim to try to change the environment that we're working in so that we can create a better world going forward.
So it's a rather big mission, you could say, and there are so many aspects we could talk about, but we promised ourselves to keep it short in the first episode. And so I'd like to wrap up this one with a segment we're introducing right now and we'll like to feature every time, bringing in you, the voices from the tech community, Europe's business leaders, their statements and their questions. So Dale, I'd like to say now, welcome to the Tech Community Lounge. Here in this lounge, we're giving our community a voice. Dale, I'd like to share some feedback from year one and a few broader thoughts from the community, and I'm curious to hear your take on them. Ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go. So, voice number one is urging the following. Please don't just become another German industry meetup and don't turn just into another flashy tech futurist event. What do you say to this member?
I'd say I agree 100%. We need to be future-driven but practical. And I think that means being okay at our events, at our big convention in Heilbronn as well, to get our hands dirty and actually not just talk about bold visions but talk about the practical steps. And so part of that, within the program planning, we'll be building in training zones, we'll be building in boot camps so people can actually get together and look at actually the what's, I guess, slowing down progress and innovation and work together on getting that out of the way.
Another voice from the community shares the following opinion. Tech can't just be an event. It has to be a movement. Please be serious about that. Europe really needs this. So that's also important, right, Dale?
I agree. I think I would turn it back on this user and say then get active. I like to think of this company. We're a completely independent, you know, within Handelsblatt, we're a GmbH, but I see us as an organization, a company without borders. So if you have something of value, if you want to engage with us, then look us up, write us a mail. We will get back to you. We want this to become a community movement. And that means we listen. And if you have value you can bring, we will work with you. So let's talk is what I'd say to the entire community.
Yeah. So let's get active. And thank you so much, Dale, that you took your time today. I'd like to wrap up this episode by thanking everybody in the team to make this possible. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us on The Optimist. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love your feedback on Spotify or any other platform you're tuning in from. You can also reach us anytime at hello@tech-europe.org. See you next time and stay optimistic.
Thanks for listening to The Optimist. For more insights and updates about tech, visit us at tech-europe.org. The Optimist is produced by Tech by Handelsblatt. Music by Christian Heinemann. Stay curious.